Advanced Studio Classroom is on the air. Everything old is new again, today on Advanced. Hello, listeners. Welcome to Advanced Studio Classroom. My name is Peter, and you are joining us today, Friday, April 3rd, 2026, for day one of our Trends article for the month of April. This is a two-day article, so we'll be with you today and tomorrow. And the article is called Rewinding History. Rewinding History. Cassette tapes are coming back. So, a bit of a look back here, a sort of a nostalgia article, and we'll get into that, read through it, and discuss the English, cover the vocab in it to help you grow in your confidence in English. And by we, of course, I mean myself and my co-panelist. Joining us for both days, please welcome Linda. Hello, Linda.
Hi. Hello, everyone. It is great to be here.
Good to have you with us, Linda. Linda, it tells us here in the deck that cassette tapes are coming back. What role have cassette tapes played in your life?
Well, that was the format that we had in childhood. So I remember using cassette tapes. We had the tape player. I had a Walkman, which was the thing to have. It's what you played your cassette tapes on. And I remember trying to record things on the tape recorder. So we would record our voices sometimes, but we'd use it to record songs. So we would listen to the radio. That's how we listened to music back then. And have the tape recorder to record the songs that we wanted. I mean, back then you either had to buy the music on tape or record player and then later CD, or you could try to record it on a tape by listening to the radio and then with your tape recorder.
Yes, yes. No, same with me. I grew up in roughly the same time as Linda, and cassettes. We had records. I had several of them myself, but mainly you got cassettes. For me, it was because of the portability. Cassette, you know, unlike a record, you could listen to a cassette tape on a bus or as you're walking down the street. And maybe the sound wasn't quite as good as a record player, but you accepted that because it was a difference between 100% and 80-85%, and that missing 15 or 20% that you gave up was made up for in the portability and being able to just take it around with you wherever you went, especially if you had headphones. And yeah, I remember also listening to the radio and using tapes to record songs I particularly wanted to hear again instead of going out and buying the album or even the tape. If there was just one song by a band or an artist, I would get it on tape and then listen to it that way. Sometimes still have a little bit of the DJ talking over it right at the end or at the beginning, but at least you got 90-95% of the song. All because of cassette tapes. They were portable and you could record with them. A record, a vinyl record, you just put it on and you listen to it. You couldn't reuse it to record something. And yeah, I remember also my father would sometimes, we had a cassette recorder, and he would sometimes put a blank tape in a cassette recorder and press record and then hide the recorder in the room where we were having a meal or something, or some kind of social event. And then he would only tell us about it afterwards, and then we would all have fun listening to how we sounded on cassette. Yeah, that's a particular form of technology that is, you know, disappeared around the turn of the century, I would say, roughly. And so now learning that it's coming back, I was particularly interested in this article, and we're glad to have you listeners as well. We hope perhaps this is something for you to look back on perhaps as well, and at the same time practice your English. So let's get right to it. We'll do two readings today, and our first reading, if you have your magazine, magazine open to April 3rd, the Trends article Rewinding History. Let's go into our first reading now.
Rewinding History. Cassette tapes are coming back. Though Gabriel Dominic Dunlap didn't grow up with cassettes, he's now a collector who can be seen sporting a personal tape player. The 20-year-old student only discovered an enthusiasm for the format, which hit peak popularity in the 1980s, within the past year. He carries tapes from his small collection with him to listen to on his way to class and while walking around town. The retro aspect is kind of cool, but it's definitely just the feeling of being able to take out a cassette album, flipping it around, and the sound of it closing in, Dominic Dunlap said. You hear the mechanisms turning when you first play it and fall in love with it. Similar to the resurgence of vinyl records, the two-spooled magnetic cassette tape hasn't quite stayed in the past. Though a more portable option than vinyl, tapes are imperfect, degrading with time and, even when new, blanketing music with a warm hiss.
All right, so just to cover our deck, cassette tapes are coming back. I assume we all know what a cassette is, a small, flat, plastic case containing magnetic tape that can be used for playing or recording sound. And Linda and I both gave examples of each of those features. Probably most of our listeners know what is meant by cassette tapes, but for you young people who may be listening in, that's what a cassette tape is, this little plastic case with magnetic tape that you can play or record on. So in our article then, in our first section, we meet a gentleman named Dominic Dunlap. Gabriel Dominic Dunlap, who likes cassettes. Now, Linda, why is this worth mentioning?
Because he didn't grow up with cassettes. He's only 20 years old. He's actually a college student, but he is really into cassettes. He's a collector of them, and he has, that's his form portable music that he carries around. So he has his personal tape player. I wonder if it might be a Walkman, but those are pretty valuable now. Those are vintage. Mm. So he has his personal tape player with his collection of tapes that he listens to his music on.
Yeah. Do you still have a tape player?
I saved mine. Yes, it is in storage somewhere.
Ah, okay.
I haven't used it in decades, but it's there. Maybe I can sell it one day or pass it on to someone.
Sure. There might be a market for that. I bought a tape player, actually, just a few years ago, not really to listen to tapes, but to sign of the times, to transfer these old tapes I had to digital format. You buy this simple cassette player, really, and then it comes with a USB cord and some built-in software that enables you to play the tape in the player, and it converts it into a digital file. You connect it to your computer, and then you have your tapes as MP3 files, and, you know, you can listen to them forever because tape, of course, magnetic tape will degrade over time.
Yeah, and that is what I needed to do with all of the tapes that we had. Not of music, because you can find that music on a streaming platform or elsewhere, but for our family recordings, because we would turn on the record or the tape player and record our voices. Those can't be replaced. So I need to find a way to take those cassettes and convert them to digital form so we have them for a longer period of time.
Yes. It's fairly easy. This tape player that I got a few years ago didn't cost really more than about $30-40 US, I think. Got it on Amazon.com.
It just takes time to do those things.
It does take time. And
the same with our home videos. Like, those are cassettes too.
VHS cassette tapes.
But probably need to get someone to do that. I think that would take a lot of time. Or who knows? Maybe it doesn't take that much time to convert.
Yeah. I think there's like an American drugstore that used to provide that service, like CVS or this drugstore chain, at least back in the States. I remember there was a time where you could bring in old VHS video cassettes.
I doubt they offer that anymore because people don't have them anymore. I think they've been tossed out.
Well, according to this article, they may be making a comeback. And we have a quote now from this Gabriel Dominic Dunlap fellow, a 20-year-old who only discovered really his enthusiasm for cassette tapes within the past year. And so that would be post-pandemic, well after the peak years of audio cassettes and video cassettes. And Dominic Dunlap says that he has a quote here, the retro aspect is kind of cool. The retro aspect, meaning retro, something based on styles or fashion from the recent past. So you wouldn't say if someone dressed like a person from the 18th century, we wouldn't really call that retro. It has to do with the past, but retro as a term refers more to the recent past, like with audio cassettes, going back, you know, just a few decades really at the most. And so he says the retro aspect is kind of cool, but it's the feeling of being able to take out a cassette album, flip it around, and the sound of it closing in. What does he mean by the sound of it closing in?
Because cassette tapes, they have a certain sound to it because the magnetic tape going through the tape player, kind of like film. Like you have old time. A film spool, like it's going through the movie projector.
Yeah.
So with the sound, it affects how it sounds.
Right. It certainly does. I think maybe Dominic Dunlap specifically is referring to that sound and feel of literally putting the cassette into the player and click, closing the lid over it. That is a particular sort of micro experience that you only have with cassette tapes. Compact disc, you put it in and you press a button. But with a cassette tape, you put it in the player, of course, but there's a sound of it closing in. There's a click. There's a kind of locking sound.
Yeah, there's a lot more physicality.
With
a cassette tape, because you have to take it, you have to put it in and then take it out of the tape player. And yeah, you have to flip it because it has two sides. It has an A and B side.
Right.
And so when once you finish listening to one side, then you have to flip it over and listen to the other side.
Right. Yeah, I think that's what Dominic Dunlap is getting at here. He says you hear the mechanisms turning when you first play it, and at least for Dominic Dunlap, you fall in love with it. But yeah, certainly it is the idea of the mechanisms, the sound of the mechanisms turning. And you see it too. If you look down into the tape being played, you see those little wheels turning, those little spools, as they're called. And that's a word in our next paragraph, spool, which is meaning the verb form here, but to wind or to be wound on a wheel-like object. And he also compares it to another trend of vinyl records, also making a comeback. What's another word for making a comeback there in that third paragraph?
Resurgence. So similar to vinyl records, which have made a comeback, meaning that they've reappeared or become popular again. We saw that happened a while ago. And actually, vinyl records, I don't think really ever went out of style fully. Like there are always people who like that format. DJs have, you know, held on to that. And yeah, there's something about a vinyl record that there's just history with it. Mm-hmm. And there's a coolness factor also associated with it. So vinyl records, I can also say that's retro. And retro, there's usually a cool factor with anything that you describe as retro. Similar to like vintage, which can be older stuff, but vintage is a much nicer way to describe something than old, right?
Yeah, exactly.
Or like ancient or antique, yeah.
Yeah, even though it is old, but when we describe it as vintage, it means it still has a kind of charm to it.
And value.
And value, yes. Yes, and I think another reason that records did never completely disappeared is because, of course, they're used by DJs. Ever since DJ and turntables, so-called, began in hip-hop music and then transferred to disco music that you hear in clubs. You'll hear the DJ, or you'll see the DJ, lining up these albums. They use compact discs as well, and MP3 files, I'm sure. But the sort of classic image of the DJ is a guy with two record players on a little table right in front of him, and he's got the headphones on, and he's setting up the needle on one record player, getting it ready to play while the other record is finishing playing. And so he can segue, he can go from one to the other very smoothly, and that's something you can't really do with cassettes,
at least not as easily.
Or even compact discs, because there's always that little moment where the laser of the disc has to lock into the track and start to play it. But with records, you just put the needle down and start it playing, and the sound just comes out like that.
Right. And also, cassette tapes, there's a lot of imperfection with them.
Yes.
You have the magnetic tape, which if it's exposed to a magnet, like, it can be erased, right? So content on the tape can be damaged or erased easily. And it's really inconvenient because the tape gets twisted and gets messy. I remember having to use a pencil to wind the tape back up,
yes.
Because the two spools on it, and you would put a pencil through it and then just try to wind it up. And you never want little kids or younger siblings to get into your cassette tapes, because then they would just pull it out. That was fun for them to just pull the tape out. So there is a lot of inconvenience and imperfection with cassette tapes, but it seems that's part of their appeal.
Yeah. And that physicality that you're talking about, the example of having to wind up a tape that perhaps a young sibling has unwound so that it starts to spill out of the little plastic housing that it's in. That leads us nicely into our next section here, titled Holding the Music in Your Hands. So let's go on and do our second reading now.
Holding the Music in Your Hands. Alongside current artists, including Taylor Swift and Bad Bunny, releasing new music on cassette, some record store owners are seeing an uptick in interest in the format. Their theories as to why range from user sentimentality to a desire, in this age of streaming, to again be able to physically hold music that's actually owned. Eric Stevens, who runs a cassette tape-based record label called Michi Tapes, grew up with cassettes through the 1990s and early 2000s. Listening to the likes of What's the Story, Morning Glory by Oasis and Harvest Moon by Neil Young. As an eighth grader, he remembers queuing up a cassette of Dazed and Confused by Led Zeppelin for a music analysis presentation. He boasts a collection of nearly 300 tapes, around 100 of which are 90-minute mixtapes recorded from the radio. The other 200 are made up of local bands, some recorded through his Michi Tapes label, in addition to other genres such as jazz and classical.
Okay, so our section begins here, mentioning a couple current artists in 2026, Taylor Swift and Bad Bunny, who are releasing new music on cassette tape. That's presumably in addition to streaming and compact disc or even vinyl records. These major artists are releasing new music on cassette to tap into this resurgence in the interests of cassette tapes. And it goes on to say that some record store owners are seeing an uptick in interest in the format. An uptick, as you might guess, just means an increase, a rising up, an uptick in something, an uptick in interest in the format of cassette tapes. Now, these record store owners, Linda, have a couple theories as to why this uptick might be happening. What are they?
Right. So their theories range from user sentimentality. And if you're sentimental about something, you have an emotional attachment to it or an affection to it. So these could be the people who grew up with cassette tapes and now they are longing to have that thing from the past. The reason or theory is desire. right, to be able to own a piece of music. And they mention in this age of streaming, we don't actually own the music that, that we purchase. We pay for a subscription and then we can listen to that song or that album for a certain amount of time. But if we don't keep paying the subscription, we don't have access anymore.
Right. Or so, we have to listen to some ads right in the middle of the music sometimes.
Right. So being able to physically hold that music, if you have a cassette tape, you can touch it with your hands. You can actually feel it, while you can't do that with streaming.
Right. You don't have to worry about a poor internet connection or buffering, so-called, or anything like that. You have the music, no matter where you are, no matter what the weather is. As long as you have power for the player of the music, you have the music there. I hadn't thought about that in reading the article and just reflecting on how our use and of music has changed and how, because of streaming, we don't really own the music anymore. We can access a much broader variety of music, but it is always, we just rent it. We just get it temporarily while we listen to it, and often for a price, each time we want to listen to it rather than just buying the album or the cassette tape and having it forever, just that one purchase price, and then able to listen to it whenever we like. Just interesting the way our relationship to music has changed over the years. Then in our next paragraph, we meet Eric Stevens, another record store, well, not a record store owner, but someone in that industry. He owns a record label, which means a business that records albums and sells them. A cassette tape-based record label called Michi Tapes, who also grew up with cassettes through the 90s and the early 2000s. And Mr. Stevens, if I may say, has good taste. Listening to Oasis and Neil Young, both the albums he mentions, I recommend to our listeners across the board. They're just good pop music, folk music albums by Oasis and Neil Young. And he further mentions Led Zeppelin, which is also great rock and roll music. The album Dazed and Confused. As an eighth grader, he has a memory of this album. Linda, what is it?
He used this song or this cassette by Led Zeppelin in a music analysis presentation. And with cassette tapes, you have to get it to the right spot. It's not like digital. You still will cue up a digital recording, get it to the right place. But with digital recording, you just have to get it to the right number. But with cassettes, you physically have to get the tape to the right spot there where you want to start the music.
Right.
So it actually starts at the point where you want everyone to hear.
Yeah, where you want the music to come in and supplement your point or make your point, whatever it is that you're using it for. And I think I may have misspoke just a moment ago there. Dazed and Confused by Led Zeppelin is a particular song. It's not the name of a Led Zeppelin album. It is a song on their first album, which is called Led Zeppelin, but the album is not called Dazed and Confused. That's just one of the songs.
Not my genre. I did listen to it, but I can't say I really enjoyed it. And then Neil Young is probably before my time, but I do know Oasis, and I did like some of their songs.
Yeah, no, Oasis, one of my favorites from the mid-90s. Neil Young's been recording albums for decades now. He began in the late 60s, and he has released albums well into the 21st
century.
Yes,
it's true. He has longevity, but I think he more represents the 70s, and that's a decade that I've had to learn to like.
Yes.
I think I've mentioned this before on air. Like, music from the 70s, I didn't understand the appeal. Like, it literally made me feel sick listening to 70s music. And I was reminded of that feeling when I did listen to this song, Harvest Moon. But I've since grown appreciation for the 70s, for 70s music.
Well, I think we're all glad to have another fan of the 70s music. A lot of great music in the 70s. Harvest Moon, as it happens, the song, as well as the album, in this case, it is both a song an album and a song on the album, was actually released in the early 1990s by Neil Young. But it does recall the kind of music that he made in the 70s, sort of gentle folk music, but still engaging. I recommend that album just as much as the Oasis album. Anyway, just finally here in our last section, songs like Harvest Moon or Dazed and Confused are likely to show up on something called a mixtape. And a mixtape may be familiar to you. It just means a collection of songs on a cassette put together for a particular person or for a particular occasion, someone's birthday, sort of conflating both examples there. You might make them a mixtape of their favorite songs or songs that you would like them to have that kind of tell something about you as a person. And cassettes made that possible. You could record on cassettes in a way that you can't quite do, certainly not with vinyl records, and more difficult. You can technically do it with CDs and DVDs, but it was never so easy as it was with queuing up a song, getting ready to record it onto a mixtape.
Yeah, so it took effort to make a mixtape for someone. So if you received a mixtape personally made for you, it showed that person really cared for you or really made an effort to make this mixtape for you.
Yes, yes. And a good film, Hollywood film, we'll just close with this, on mixtapes and other things, mixtapes and what they mean. High Fidelity, a film starring the American actor John Cusack. High Fidelity, funny film, very much about people for whom pop music and rock music and jazz is very important, a way that they deal with life, a way that they communicate with each other. And one of the sort of themes of the film is that the main character is constantly making mixtapes, either literally or in his head, as a way of helping us to get to know about him. I do recommend that film, High Fidelity. But I also recommend, listeners, that you come back tomorrow to join us for day two of our article, when we'll talk more about the return of cassette tapes, what that means. But for today, I'm Peter.
I'm Linda.
Saying bye-bye.
Goodbye.